If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Book of Proverbs, chapter 31. This would be our thought today, a model of motherhood. A model of motherhood. Proverbs 31, we'll read one verse. We'll try to deal with the entire chapter in just a few minutes. Proverbs 31, verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now there was a little boy who was going to stand up at a Sunday school presentation, and his mama had come down and sat on the front row to try to help him. And they handed him the microphone, and he could not remember his lines. And his mother whispered, and she said, "I am the light of the world." And it dawned on the little boy, and he looked and he said, "My mother is the light of the world." In a sense, that is very true. Jesus is the light of the world, and because Jesus lives in us, he said, "You are the light of the world." And a mother truly is a light to her children and to her family. Amen. Now, when we look at Proverbs chapter 31 and this model of motherhood, first of all, in the first and second verse, we see some maternal instructions. In fact, in this 31st chapter of the Proverbs, there is a voice of a mother diligently instructing her son in the background. Look at it with me. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. You see, this mother is teaching her son godly lessons that he will need to know in life. And in fact, this mother's son is the king, but she's still his mama. Verse 2 says, "What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows." Now, many people have written and challenged these scriptures to whether they're actually penned by Solomon. The words are definitely penned by King Lemuel. And Lemuel means beloved of God. In fact, when Solomon was born, they named him Solomon. Remember, he was born to David and Bathsheba. They named him Solomon, and the Lord loved that young man. He was wiser and richer than any other king ever was. In fact, when they had the young boy dedicated to the Lord, the prophet Nathan came and said, "His name will be called Jedidiah." You know what Jedidiah means? Beloved of God. It is interesting that this King Lemuel, which means beloved of God, is the very same term Jedidiah means, which refers to Solomon. And it is my belief today, and if it's not yours, don't hinder me after the service is over. It is my belief today that King Lemuel is King Solomon, and he is King Lemuel is a pet name given to him by his mother. Similar to some young people in the church, they may call their child by a certain pet name. And immediately when mom calls that name, you perk up and that brings you to attention. Amen. I won't name some of what I've called your mothers call you for space of time and for space of embarrassment. Amen. Luke was worried about me preaching this today. Now, I think about what Solomon also wrote in Proverbs 4:3. He said, "I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." Now, this woman, this mother, instructs and she says, "What, my son?" In other words, what she's saying is, "Son, what are you doing?" She is the authority in his life. And she says, "And what the son of my vows?" You see, when this child was born, she dedicated him to the Lord. And she made a vow to God that she would raise this child in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I still believe in dedicating babies. How about you? I believe that's perfectly in order. It does not save them, but it means that you dedicate them to the Lord, you're thankful for them, and you ask his help and his guidance in teaching them the wrongs and the rights of life and teaching them about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Certainly the scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now this woman, she says, what my son? She cares for her son. It has been said that a mother's heart is the child's schoolroom. She loves her son, even though he's a king. She cares for him. She's made vows over him. She's dedicated him. And she's praying for him every single day. Amen. I appreciate a mother who will care for their children. The proverb says in chapter 29, verse 15, that a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. And so Solomon's mother is not leaving him to himself. Even though he's a king, she is cared for him and loving him. Now, President Lincoln said this. He said, all that I am or that I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. He appreciated his mother. President Lincoln also said this. No man is ever poor who has had a godly mother. Amen. This morning, praise God for mother's instructions. The writer of the Proverbs said this about his mother. Now listen, this mother is given maternal instructions to a king. It's what he said in Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Hey, can I just take time out and say this to somebody today? Some of you young men here, y'all listen to what I'm going to tell you, and y'all better pay attention to this. All these girls in this audience today, you hear what I'm going to tell you. Whenever you're getting ready to marry these boys, notice that these boys will one day treat you the way they treat their mother. If they despise their mother, they're probably going to end up despising you at some point in time. Amen? So the instruction here is, fellas, honor thy father and thy mother. Forsake not her law. Amen? Listen to her. You may say, boy, mom's gone off her rocker now. She's gone off a deep end. She just don't understand. She just don't get it. Let me tell you something. King Lemuel took instructions from his mother. So point number one, we see maternal instructions. Number two this morning, she gives him some moral instructions. Verse 3, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. She's telling him, son, do not live an immoral lifestyle. She was telling him, right, immorality in your life will bring reproach and shame and dishonor. Let's even look at David and Bathsheba. And Bathsheba knows what she's talking about. When God first called David, he had a powerful reign. He was a pillar of strength, but he had committed an adulterous affair and lived in immorality, and immediately dishonor came to his home. He lost the power to lead that he once had, even though God still blessed him. It was different before his sin with Bathsheba than after. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:32, whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. I wonder if Solomon thought, oh, that I had listened to my mother. Do you realize that Solomon ended up with 700 wives? 300 concubines? He had 1,000. Whoo! Lord God, he should have listened to his mama. She knew what she was talking about regarding living a moral lifestyle. Some of these older folks here could stand up and tell some of you younger people, live a life that brings glory to God. And do not live in dishonor and in immorality. Amen. Number three this morning, she gives the king in verse 4 some monarchical instructions. That's a big word, but it's representing a king. She tells the king how to live his life. Verse 4, It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. You see that? She says, son, don't be a drunkard. Don't drink wine. Don't take strong drink. It's not for kings to do this, because you'll forget your obligations, you'll forget the law, and you'll pervert judgment. Boy, what preaching that was she gave to that young boy. Because nowadays, when we look at politics, it's filled with wine and catering and alcohol. But the mother says that a king shouldn't have any part of it. Amen. G. Campbell Morgan had four boys, and it was preachers. And they came to those preachers and said, who was the best preacher in your family? Was it your daddy or one of you four boys? And they said, it was our mother. She gave us better instruction from home than any preacher could have ever done. And I do not believe in women preachers, by the way, but you know what I mean. Mama can get a hold of them youngins better than anybody else can outside of the Holy Ghost. And she tells this king, son, don't be fooling around with alcohol. He's against this social drinking business. What'll make you mad, won't it? Verse 6, give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. In other words, in those days, they did not have morphine and all these drugs to try to ease you out of this world. He said, give them wine and things that would help them to ease their pain and ease their grief. That's what it should be used for. Look here in verse 8. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. You see what she says here? She says, I want you to stand up for those that cannot speak for themselves. I want you to stand up for the weak, Solomon, and I want you to speak up for the meek. That's what the government's supposed to do. Stand up for those who will not stand up for themselves, and speak up for those who won't speak up for themselves. Boy, she's given the king some wonderful monarchical instructions. Now, history would tell us about Alexander the Great and what a great ruler he was, conquered the entire civilized world. But in his youth, at the age of 30-some years old, he died a drunkard, defeated because there was no more worlds to conquer. The only thing Alexander the Great was interested in was, where is the next party? God help, that business does not need to be in leadership. Let me say this. If you cannot control yourself, how are you going to lead in the government? You need to learn. Let me tell you something, you young girls. You find you a man who's able to rule himself. And if he can rule himself, he'll be a good man to marry. He'll be a good husband one day. Number 4 this morning. I want you to see her marital instructions. They begin in verse number 10. Now from 10 to 31, there are 22 verses. And there are 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And in the Hebrew Bible, all of these verses start from basically, I'll say from A to Z because that's English, you'll understand it. It goes from A to Z about how to find a virtuous woman. And so it is a Hebrew acrostic. And guess what? In the Hebrew Bible, this is interesting to me. In the Hebrew Bible, after the book of Proverbs, in the Hebrew Bible, is the book of Ruth. She was a virtuous woman. Anyway, so let's look at this marital instructions she gives to King Lemuel about who can find a virtuous woman. Now, are you listening to me? I want you to listen to me real close here. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about many types of women. You fellas, you hear me? There are a lot of women out there today. Listen to some of them. Proverbs 2:16 warns you about the strange woman. Proverbs 6:24 warns you about the evil woman. Proverbs 6:26 warns you about the whorish woman. Proverbs 9:13 warns you about the foolish woman. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse 22, as a jewel of gold and a swine snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Proverbs 21:9 warns you about a brawling woman. 21:19 warns you about an angry woman. Proverbs 27:15 warns you about a contentious woman. Says a continual as a continual dropping in a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. In other words, she just won't quit. And then number 9, he warns about the adulterous woman in Proverbs 30, verse 20. You see all that? Those are not the type of women that you want to marry. Those are not the type of women that you want to be the mother of your children. But then this mother gives instructions to the king. After all these worldly women has been mentioned about a virtuous woman, there are two great decisions in your life. Two. The first one is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the second one is about who you marry. Whether you're a man or girl, about who you marry. You better marry the right person. Because if you don't, you're in for a world of hurt. The mother first says you must find a woman invaluable. Who can find a virtuous woman? Virtuous means a woman of standards, convictions, a woman of honor, a woman of purity. The Greek word means a woman of strength. You know what that means? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You need to find a woman who's a woman of strength that fears God. He says, for her price is far above rubies. That means she's priceless. She's beyond assessment. She's rare. Hallelujah to God. Number one, she is a woman invaluable. Number two, who should he marry? Who's he looking for? He should find a woman of integrity. Verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Back in those days, the man would leave for a long time, and he would worry about trusting his wife, and he'd have to take all the money and things with him so that she didn't take it all and spend it all. Let me tell you something. You need to find a woman whose values are your values, that you can trust with the credit card. You can trust with all the money that you have, every possession that you have, and most of all, your heart. Your heart can safely be trusted to her heart. Very important, amen. A woman of integrity, a woman that is trustworthy, a woman that is a woman of honor, a woman, my friend, that is trustworthy in chastity, in conduct, in character, trustworthy with her children, trustworthy with the cash. She's faithful in her calling, faithful in her commitment. She's a dedicated and a dependable woman. Look with me in verse 23. Speaking about this woman you marry, this virtuous woman, her husband is known in the gates. That's the place of leadership. That's the place of judgment. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You realize this morning your wife helps qualify you. A poor wife will disqualify you. It disqualify me from the ministry. Amen. Don't bow up on me, amen. I'm telling it right. My wife's to be commended, not only for putting up with me, amen, but she encourages me when I go home from the pulpit and say, boy, I just didn't preach it good today. They just seem like I didn't get it. What could I have done more? And she encourages me, and she helps me, and she qualifies me, and I appreciate that today. Amen. The Bible says in verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She has words of wisdom. She doesn't have words of hatred. She doesn't have words of gossip. She has words of encouragement. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 11:16. A gracious woman retaineth honor. You find a woman who's able to conduct herself and carry herself in a graceful manner. Amen? Not only is she a woman invaluable and a woman of integrity, but she should be a woman of industry. Verse 13, she works, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's a willing worker. She's self-motivated. She's a self-starter. She's not lazy. She's willing to get up, get to work in her home. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. In other words, this woman, as she's working to prepare in her household at all times, verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Been a lot of late hours, Mom, hadn't there? Going back in to check on his fevered brow to make sure he got his medicine. You laid awake all night praying, oh God, would you deliver my baby from this fever? Oh God, would you take care of our grand youngins? And your candle didn't go out at night. You worked long hours. Hallelujah. And I don't mean this to demean anybody, but this is talking about the woman who's made a choice to stay home, to look well after her household. Hey man, it's not a worldly woman. Now I realize a lot of our women's got to go to work and get out and work and struggle. And here you have worked all day, and then you got to come home and cook and take care of the kids, and you work long hours. And when you read about this virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, you feel very inadequate. I know you do. But I want to tell you something. There was two old cows, and they just been milk cows their whole life, and they was down by the fence, and they was looking at a big truck that stopped in front of their barn, and they read the side of it, and it said milk, homogenized, pasteurized, sanitized, and vitamins added. And the one cow looked to the other and said, it kind of makes you feel inadequate, don't it? And I don't care what they did to it. There wouldn't have been no milk if there hadn't been the cow. And you hear me this morning, Mama. You stay with it no matter how inadequate you feel. If you have to work long hours, you work long hours. God will bless you for doing so. May God grant you the strength to continue on day by day. Verse 20 says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's a woman of compassion. She heard about a death in the community. And though she had everything else to care for in her house, she went to be a blessing to somebody else. She went to encourage them. She sat down and wrote a card. She made a phone call. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's a woman who makes plans for the future. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's a woman of industry. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 19:14. A prudent woman, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman buildeth her house. You see that? She's working in her household. She's not become career conscious. She's family conscious. Amen? Amen. Number four, she's a woman of instruction. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. In other words, she prepares, she plants, she protects. She's a witness, she's a teacher, she's a helper, she's a guide, she's a physician. Amen, she's a nurse. Mama's got to do everything. Hallelujah to God for what you women do and the sacrifices that you make. Verse 27, again, she looketh well to the ways of her household. I think about the fact that Mama is a good listener, better than being a great lecturer. We need some mamas that'll learn to listen. Instead of saying, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. You'd lead them by example. You wouldn't just tell them to go to church, you'd take them. You'd go with them. You wouldn't just tell them to go to Sunday school, you'd go too. Amen. She's a woman of instruction. Last of all, she's a woman of influence. Verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed or blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now you look with me. I didn't mean to tear anybody up. It's career conscience. But do you see right here in this verse where the corporation says they're going to give her a big bonus check? The corporate world's going to send her a trophy. I realize you have to work. But God comes first, and in our families. Are you with me? What about the church, preacher? It comes after that. You know where the church started? Started in the home. God called me to pastor my family before he ever called me to pastor Bethel Baptist Church. Yes, my family's going to come first in a lot of places in my life. And it needs to come first for you too, after the Lord. You do not see the corporate world calling her blessed. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Lord God, the only man in here say, thank God for my wife. Thank God for a good woman. Thank God for the mother of my children. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lord. She is a woman invaluable, a woman of integrity, a woman of industry, a woman of instruction, a woman of influence. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You see, she wants what's best for the Lord and for her family. That's what she wants. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. You fellas, listen to me. Oh, I got to find this beautiful girl. Mom always told me, she says, pretty is as pretty does. Amen. You may say, oh, she's beautiful, but if she ain't got a beautiful heart, something bad wrong. It never says anything. Look what's beautiful. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You see, this morning, a woman that fears God, she'll be praised, and her own words are going to speak. I think the highest calling of a woman is to be a mother, if you're allowed to do so. There's a young man by the name of Teddy Stoddard. He went to school, and by the time he got into fifth grade, he got real lax in his studies, and his teacher, Miss Thompson, she stood before her students and she said, I love everybody in this class. But it was a lie. She didn't really like Teddy Stoddard because he was a distraction. He made noises. He upset the class constantly. And after the first 9 weeks, she was sick and tired of Teddy Stoddard. She would mark on his paper with red markers and write comments to put him down. Any teacher would put a youngin' down. She ain't much of a teacher, especially when it's a woman. Amen. To insult and put down a child. But she would delight in marking his paper with red X's and marks all over it and giving him low grades. At the end of the first 9 weeks, she had given him a big fat F and was glad to do so, hoping to get him out of her class. And she looked back as she prepared to meet with the parents. She looked back at his first grade teacher's notes and said, a pleasure to have in class all 4 9 weeks. She couldn't believe it. She looked at the second grade teacher, and the second grade teacher talked about how wonderful he was, how bright he was, what potential that he had. Straight A student. His third grade teacher said, his mother's sick, and we see his grades starting to slide. His fourth grade teacher said, I'm sure the death of his mother has compounded how his grades have gone down. And now Miss Thompson's his fifth grade teacher. And after his mother has died, he's in trouble at school all the time. And she's delighted in putting him down and marking his papers up. And conviction hit her heart and said, oh God, what have I done? Little boy ain't even got a mama. He don't have any woman in his life. She met with his daddy. He's a drunkard. He don't have anybody to guide him, nobody to help him. Mrs. Thompson decided right then, she said, God, help me to teach this boy. She said that second 9 weeks became different. She said, I rolled up my sleeves and I quit teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, and I started teaching students. I started caring about them. I started having compassion for them. And young Teddy's grades started to go back up. He said, at the end of the second 9 weeks, which was about Christmas time, all the kids brought in presents to the teacher. And she saw his. It was wrapped up in a brown paper bag like a sack. And she knew it was from him because he didn't have anything. And right in the middle of the presents, she made a big deal to open his in the middle, not at first or at the end, to kind of let it go unnoticed. And inside was a rhinestone bracelet, which most of the stones were gone, and about a half a bottle of perfume. And she just made a big deal about it, sprayed it on her, smelled of it. And when the day was over, little Teddy came out and he said, you smell just like my mama. By the end of that year, he passed with flying colors because she started loving on that young'un. And when he got into the sixth grade, at the end of the year, a card slid under her door and said, you're my favorite teacher, Mrs. Thompson. 6 years later, he graduated from high school. He went on to college. He got his four-year degree. He went on to get his doctorate's degree. He slid a card under her door at school, and he said, my mama's died, and now my daddy's died, and I don't have any family, but I want you to come to my graduation. And he signed it Theodore Stoddard, M.D. She said, I'm going to that graduation. She sat there that day in that seat of honor, and she looked like that boy like it was her own precious son. And he came and hugged her and said, I'm getting married. Miss Thompson, would you come? Would you sit as my mother? A school teacher. It made a difference in somebody's life. You realize what we've got here with the Christian school and what we've got here with the Awana program and in our Sunday school classes? You know what we've got sitting here in our pews? Mom, your family's wonderful, but it's much bigger than that, isn't it? It's a family of God. Oh, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. So, Mom, I love you. Be encouraged. Do your job well. You will impact the world for the glory of God. May God strengthen you to do so.